Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast, broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd. Today, we are going to be talking about the mantis shrimp. My spirit animal. I'm pretty sure that the mantis shrimp is my spirit animal. And we did talk about the mantis shrimp a little ways back when we were talking about evolution and all these different animals, but we just really felt like we did not give enough time to the mantis shrimp. So we're going to delve a little more into the mantis shrimp and what that guy's all about.
Yeah, since we first mentioned the mantis shrimp, we have made a few vague references to him. And
true.
I think some of our audience who joined us a little bit later on in our progress have probably thought, why do they keep bringing up the mantis shrimp? There's got to be something special about the mantis shrimp.
Well, and we're going to make sure that they understand exactly why the mantis shrimp is quite possibly the greatest animal on God's, well, blue earth, since he lives in the water. I was going to say God's green earth, but I guess it's God's blue earth if they live in the water.
Yeah, depending where you're viewing it from.
True.
I don't think once you're underwater it looks blue, does it?
I don't know, I'm colorblind.
That is true also, yeah. So, as neither of us claim to be experts in anthropology, we need to explain, first of all, that unlike the wasp, which was clearly an error in being invented, so whether you take natural selection or an omnipotent deity, the wasp was an error.
Right.
So, to make up for it, either natural selection or the omnipotent deity created the mantis shrimp, which is in the top five species of all time if you're using badass as a parameter for the ranking system. So along with the honey badger,
right,
you know, the mantis shrimp is in that list, is in there out of achievement.
Okay, so honey badger versus mantis shrimp. Do you put the mantis shrimp up higher than the honey badger?
It's a difficult one, really.
I really don't understand why you have so many problems with your microphone stand.
Well, here, I don't understand why it's falling off again.
Well,
there's no reason. I pushed it all the way.
You're doing something British wrong. You're trying to do it backwards. See, now you just about knocked the dang thing completely off the table. For those of you listening, I'm watching the wondrous craftsmanship here of our fancy Chinese $10 microphone arm things that we have our microphones attached to, and I think we finally got it fixed. So, oh no, we're doing some more looking.
Just make sure it doesn't.
All right, and we're back.
And we're back in the room. Where are we? Oh, you're asking me where...
So honey badger versus mantis shrimp. Is the honey badger more badass than the mantis shrimp, or is the mantis shrimp more badass than the honey badger?
Well, given we live on land, I'm assuming the honey badger would be more useful. Outside of an aquarium, there's not much we can do with the mantis shrimp.
True. So probably the mantis shrimp and the honey badger are never going to fight, because the honey badger would have to, you know, get in the ocean, or the mantis shrimp would have to get out of the ocean.
Yeah.
And they're both too stubborn to do either one of those things, so we're never going to see that happen.
Yeah, I've gone through a lot of different scenarios in my mind about when and how they could meet, and just decided, look, one's got to be our best aqua animal, the other one's got to be our best on land animal.
No, that makes sense. Or you could use SpongeBob rules, right? Because the squirrel lives under there with the little, you know, space helmet on. Could work that way.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say at this point, we do not currently have an aerial spiritual animal. So are there any representatives from any local aviaries in the state of Texas or elsewhere? We are open to actually being sponsored by a badass bird.
What about ducks?
Sure.
Yeah. All right, we took care of that one.
Right, yeah. Okay. So mantis shrimp has been kicking around for about 340 million years. I'm not talking about just one particular mantis shrimp. This is them as a
species.
Yeah,
them gotcha.
As a species, yeah. So his scientific name is Stomatopoda. Stomatopoda. Mantis shrimp sounds like easy.
Why do all those scientific names have to be so complicated?
Well, so you can sound smart.
Oh.
I automatically sounded smart when I started to read it, except when I mispronounced it the first time, then it kind of got me back to square one again.
Yep, there you go. Yeah.
So his average size is between 8 and 10 inches, which puts us to shame.
Yep.
And some mantis shrimp have been measured up to 18 inches.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big sucker.
Yeah, that is a big... So I'm thinking our original aquarium idea of, hey, let's get some mantis shrimp. We need to go beyond the kind of 8-inch by 12-inch by 16-inch idea.
We were thinking about like one of those little 10-gallon aquariums. Yeah. I think I've got one in the garage somewhere.
He's going to be pissed if he can't turn around.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Probably need to avoid keeping the goldfish in with the mantis shrimp like we originally said as well.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
two aquariums.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to spend, though, on two aquariums.
Yeah. Now, just for our regular listeners who know that the shepherd's colorblind, but very selectively colorblind, most traits of colorblindness, it's normal patterns of colors and collections of colors that colorblind people can't see. But for whatever reason, shepherd's is completely random. Colors which you wouldn't think he'd mess up, he messes up.
I do.
He does. And so this is...
Or it's a very cruel trick people are pulling on me.
Yeah. And so this is partly why, you know, the mantis shrimp is the shepherd's spirit animal. Because the mantis shrimp has 16 color receptors compared to a human's 3. But the mantis shrimp, despite having all of those color receptors, are not actually good at distinguishing between colors. But they can see cancer.
Wait. Stop. Cancer? How do they see cancer?
There's something in the makeup of a cancer cell and the way it grows that apparently gives off certain, I don't know, types of light.
Like infrared light or ultraviolet light or something like
just
that?
Just keep naming all the lights we've heard of. We might hit on it.
So you've got...
Fluorescent light.
Fluorescent light. Yeah, LED light.
LED light.
Miller light.
Bud light. Yeah, so it uses one of those.
Gotcha.
Probably not Bud Light because that tastes like... piss.
Do you know they use rice to make Bud Light?
That wouldn't surprise me.
They're proud of it, though. It's on the packaging.
Right.
I never knew that. I always knew I didn't like Bud Light, and it was always that Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light, right? You know, some people just really get married to one of those. I used to think they all tasted the same, and then all of a sudden I realized Coors Light, Miller Light are kind of similar, but there was always this funky kind of taste with Bud Light, and I never could put my finger on it until I was walking through the store and I realized they literally advertise the fact they use rice to make Bud Light.
They probably just wash rice off, you know, wash all the starch off it, collect that water, and then just make it, then carbonate it.
Right.
You know, stir a few hops in there or barley or whatever the heck they're using to make the beer, and then that's Bud Light.
I wonder if the Bud Light would taste different if your smartphone got wet and you threw it in the rice, then you got your smartphone out and then made Bud Light.
If your smartphone uses 5G, that's automatically going to be dangerous, remember?
Ooh.
We don't want to go there.
So
Mind control.
Okay, hang on. Stuff. Note to self.
Yeah.
Stay away from Bud Light because there could be some 5G stuff in the Bud Light.
Mm.
All right. Hey, we're trying to take care of our listeners. Yeah.
So I don't know if that is the exact reason why the mantis shrimp is able to see cancer, but that's pretty much what I could gather from reading a sentence that it could see cancer and not reading the follow-on bit.
So do you think if you go to like one of those places like the, what is it, the MD Anderson Cancer Center or Cancer Centers of America, you know, basically all of the places that get their advertising on the game show network. Do you think they have mantis shrimp there just like hanging out in aquariums?
Well, of course they're there. They're probably in the waiting room. So by the time they come in, they don't waste all that time on the diagnosis. The doctor just looks at the mantis shrimp, says, what about him? The mantis shrimp, like, yeah, he's got cancer. And that's pretty much the diagnosis. Then you can go straight to the treatment part. That's why those hospitals have such high success rates in treating cancers, because the mantis shrimp does all the diagnosis in the waiting room.
Well, there you go. So I love that. Do they hold up little signs like yes and no, or do they actually talk?
They tap on the glass,
oh,
like Morse code type thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there we are. The mantis shrimp can see cancer, and the shepherd can make out the different colors in a Domino's Pizza logo.
Right. Yeah. And the mantis shrimp knows Morse code.
Yeah, and he knows Morse code. So on average, a mantis shrimp lives roughly 20 years. Now, that's on average. So you could have some 43-year-old mantis shrimp kicking out there.
Okay. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and some other mantis shrimp, which, I don't know, might live in a dodgy neighborhood, might only have a life expectancy because of gang membership and might die at 13 or 14, I don't know.
Well, yeah, but doesn't natural selection kind of play into this? So only the strong mantis shrimp are going to live into their 40s? And some of that, you know, that's how it averages out.
Yeah.
So the weak ones probably get killed by the strong ones.
Yeah, but amazingly enough, it seems to be a complete same pattern as with humans, that most mantis shrimp die in gun-free zones.
Really?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, where you're allowed guns, there's less mantis shrimp actually dying.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a sad stat, but nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
So it can breed about 20 to 30 times during its lifetime, which makes it either an Irish Catholic or a Mormon. I'm not sure which. But
I wonder what religion they do practice. Could it be the flying spaghetti monster?
That's not a religion, is it?
Yeah, it is. The flying spaghetti monster?
That's a religion.
Yeah, the Pastafarians. That's a legitimate religion.
Really?
I actually am an ordained minister of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster because I had to marry somebody and I had to get ordained by some kind of legitimate religion. So I looked that up and all I had to do was pay $20 through PayPal and got a certificate. I think I lost it, though. I lost the certificate, but it's good for lifetime. You know, you don't have to do any continuing education or anything like that. So, yeah. I am an ordained minister of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I'm sure there's more to that story. We'll have to revisit that in a later episode, I think. So, the only interaction between males and females with mantis shrimp occurs during mating. So, I mean, it's kind of copied the rat community a little bit there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so basically they're saying there's only one reason we need to talk to the opposite sex, and we all know what that reason is.
Yeah. Also, although...
Do you think that mantis shrimp are rappers, though? Like, do you think they have musical talent?
Well, if they did, they wouldn't be rapping, would they?
Well, probably not.
Yeah. Now, if there is a Kanye West equivalent of the mantis shrimp, we are willing to pay high dollar.
But do you think Kanye West has an aquarium in his house that has mantis shrimp in it, and he's just not telling anybody?
Maybe that's the secret of his dragon power.
Mm. See, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Kanye West would have actually got elected to the White House, and then rather than having like the White House dog or the White House cat, he had the White House mantis shrimp?
Yeah. Probably bite less people than the current
than Biden's dog. You know, that poor dog, you know, I feel sorry for him. I mean, you know, you think about when you take care of somebody's dog or you take care of somebody's cat or whatever, they're in a new environment. They're a little bit freaked out. And just think, you know, you're living the dog's life. You're hanging out. You're catching balls and fetching sticks and having fun. Next thing you know, you got all these people around your house. Granted, big, nice yard, little rose garden to, you know, bury bones in and play. Mm. But, of course, that poor dog's a little bit freaked out. I think he got the proverbial short end of the stick.
No,
I'm on the dog's side on this one.
I read both circumstances. I'm not siding with the dog. But also, one area where I do side with the dog is that the dog's thinking because, like, you know, Joe Biden's wife is apparently a doctor, Dr. Jill Biden. Oh. The dog's thinking, oh, this is okay. If I kind of twist my leg, get my leg caught in a twist, injure my hip, she can come take care of me. But then he realizes, hold on a moment, she's a doctor in education. She's bloody useless.
Do you think the White House has like a veterinarian? You know how like the president has a doctor? Do you think there's a White House veterinarian? That'd be kind of a cool job.
What, in case you need to put a dog which bites too many people down? Or?
Well, that, or if you think about it, you know, the president has a doctor, right? And he only has the president as his client. If you're the White House vet, then all you have to do is take care of the White House dog. Like, we should have went to vet school.
Well, I can imagine Biden's doctor's pretty busy, but over previous years, I mean, sure, that would have been a bit of a redundant position most of the year.
That's true. Trump didn't have a dog, did he?
He didn't bring one to the White House with him.
That's a shame.
Yeah. He should have had something different than a dog. He should have had like a bear or...
A mantis shrimp.
So, as we kind of expected, the mantis shrimp reps himself, you know, in some pretty cool areas. Number one being one of our favorite places, the Indian Ocean.
Oh, no kidding.
And we know why we like the Indian Ocean. Because it's close to India.
That's true.
That's true. Our favorite people.
Do you think that's why they called it the Indian Ocean?
No, I think they called the Indian Ocean first. And then there's somebody found this big plot of land next to it and said, what should we call that? And they were like, how about ocean? No, I've got a better idea. How about Indian? But no, we've got those issues with those politically incorrect names over there in North America. Maybe we should just take off the N and just call it India.
Ah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Wait till you hear my theory on why Australia is called Australia.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, the radioactivity from Fukushima might actually be leading to some Godzilla-sized mantis shrimp.
Oh, please say this is true. Please say this is true.
In the Pacific Ocean. Area, wow. Because it's been affecting a lot of marine life, and so, you know, that's unfortunate. I feel sorry for the animals.
Well, yeah.
Unless it does create a huge, like, 34-yard long mantis shrimp who terrorizes naval vessels and kind of pulls low-flying helicopters out of the air.
What's that, the Kraken? It'd be almost like the Kraken, right? The Kraken isn't a mantis shrimp, is he?
Nah, he's got arms and stuff.
Oh.
I think he has more than the normal amount of arms as well.
What's the normal amount of arms for a Kraken?
I meant more than the normal number of arms than like a human would have.
So more than two?
Yeah.
But see,
maybe as many as four.
Oh, but an octopus has eight.
Yeah.
But so is he somewhere in between?
The octopus generally isn't kidnapping princesses and tying them to rocks.
Oh.
And waiting for Sinbad or whoever it is to come along and... Rescue. But
octopuses are smart, though.
They are smart. Yeah. You know, they have four brains.
Really?
Yeah.
How many does the mantis shrimp have?
I don't know. But he can see cancer, so.
Right.
So one of the scientifically listed predators for the mantis shrimp, and I think they're kind of clutching at straws here, because I actually read this on a scientific blog. It says, larger fish.
Larger fish.
Yeah, that's one of the predators for mantis shrimp. Larger fish.
That's not very scientific.
It's not very scientific, is it? It's something like we'd come up with.
Yeah. Did we come up with that?
Well, it might have been on Wikipedia. It might have edited it one night when we weren't in the best of minds.
Yeah, I think, you know, you got to be careful with Wikipedia sometimes, because we do like to go on there and do our own little edits whenever we're not of sound mind and judgment. So that could have been one of those. Might need to research that, but I'm sure we're going to forget to do that.
Well, I don't think we need to go any... further into the whole predator thing, because if larger fish are the predator, then larger fish are the predator. So the mantis shrimp is notorious for his striking force, as we knew.
Yes.
And he has the nickname the thumb splitter due to the painful gashes they can cause if handled without care by humans.
That's the best they could come up with, is the thumb splitter.
I'm guessing if he was like kicking out with his legs and splitting scrotums or breasts, they might have called him something else. But apparently most of the injuries occur to the thumb when you're kind of grabbing him and, you know.
Yeah, I just think they could have come up with something better than thumb splitter.
Yeah.
It's probably the same person that wrote that blog post about larger fish. That is some lazy writing. That, even for our standards, that is some lazy writing right there.
Now, whoever gave the mantis shrimp the two different types of claw they have, they actually came up with some cool names. They came up with spearers or smashers. Those are the two types of mantis shrimp that identify by the types of claw they have and the tactics they use to kill their prey.
Spearers or smashers? Yeah, so which one's the cool one?
Smash. Well, I'm guessing both of them.
Well, yeah, but one's got to be cooler than the other. Well, I mean, they can't be equally as cool.
Well, just invite both of them to join the Avengers, and we'll see when the next movie comes out which one of them did the best job.
Well, okay, now hang on. You're onto something here. If a spearer fights a smasher, who wins?
Well, I don't know. Can we not run some type of computer program?
Yeah, what's that computer game where you can simulate Tetris. The battles? No, that's Super Mario Brothers.
Simulate the battles.
What is it like the ultimate battle simulator or something like that, you know, where you can put 10,000 ducks against 1,000 horses and it runs those computer simulations. Have you not seen this?
No.
Oh, you need to look that up. And we're going to.
So what's it called?
I think it's the ultimate battle simulator. Yeah, the ultimate battle simulator or something like that. There's YouTube videos all the time about these things where, you know, you can put like 1,000 Jedi versus 20,000 Roman soldiers and all kinds of different stuff like that. I just wonder if the mantis shrimp is in there. Then we could do our mantis shrimp versus honey badger.
Yeah, I think if you kind of take the spears and the smashers to put it into superhero terms, I think it's kind of like Wolverine and Thor.
Well, no. Yeah. See, you missed out here. It's got to be Hulk for the smashers. Isn't it always Hulk smash? Isn't that what Hulk does?
Yeah, but he's not that smart, though, is he? Whereas Thor's a bit brainy.
But I thought Hulk was a doctor, like a scientist.
Oh, he is when he's not being the Hulk. Dr. Bruce Banner, yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, I think Thor is better because the mantis shrimp is actually pretty smart.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
You know, without going over sensationalist about it, the spearers, they have spiny appendages with barbed tips.
Mm.
And they will actually stab soft-bodied prey, where the smashers, they've got club-like claws, and they bludgeon and smash their prey to pieces.
Wow.
And they do it so quickly. I remember you showing me that video the other day where a mantis shrimp actually punched the water by a crab, and the force generated in the water actually caused the crab's shell to fracture just from the force of the water, the mantis shrimp.
See, yeah. Just with that fact, it is hard to argue that the mantis shrimp isn't like the king of the ocean.
Right.
I mean, there is nothing else out there in the ocean that can do that.
Was bigger, how much force it could like no kill kidding. A dolphin.
Yeah. Well, imagine like a whale sized mantis shrimp. I mean, we'd all be dead.
Yeah.
We'd all be dead.
Well, we'd probably be all right here inland, but you know, naval vessels would have a bit interesting.
Think about that though. What if there was like big mantis shrimp in Fukushima? And then the submarines are like driving around underwater doing their thing, and a mantis shrimp, like some big mantis shrimp, smacked the side of a submarine and it just exploded.
Yeah.
And then it was full of nuclear weapons, and then that went off. Now there's more nuclear waste, and the mantis shrimp get even bigger.
Well, smashers can actually punch at the same velocity as a .22 caliber rifle.
Wow.
Right? Which means they're automatically banned in California and New York. But
right.
The spring-loaded fists, they can accelerate at over 50 miles per hour, which is like basically a mollywhopping or a haymaker, as you like to call it.
Yep. Yeah.
In the mantis shrimp world.
Yeah. I will go with haymaker over mollywhopper.
Yeah. So here's one, and this is the most unbelievable fact I think I've read about any animal ever, but their punch is so fast it results in a process called cavitation and creates these bubbles which are superheated, and they have a small flash of light, and for a split second it generates temperatures of 4,400 degrees, which is nearly as hot as the sun. So they can heat water up, all these little bubbles, these little cavitation bubbles, to the heat of the sun.
So they can make macaroni and cheese in like 2 seconds.
Yeah. I didn't actually read what the point of that was. They can just do it.
Yeah, but I mean, what the point of the mantis shrimp is to be a badass.
Well, he's gone from like being either Wolverine or Thor to now being like one of the characters on Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it almost seems like magical powers, right? Yeah. Like these things shouldn't even exist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can crack and punch holes in aquarium glass. And they say if you are going to keep a mantis shrimp, make sure you have a minimum of 3/4 inch glass. Otherwise, the mantis shrimp has been known to...
Do you realize how expensive those aquariums probably are? So that's already out of...
About $15 from Walmart.
So still out of our price range.
Well, yeah, I think so. But, oh no, well, hold on. That's the 1/8 inch plastic stuff. That's not that's not the expensive glass stuff.
Yeah. So, but yeah, still out of our price range.
Yeah. Now, going back to the difference between your eyes and the mantis shrimp's eyes... The eyes of a mantis shrimp have trinocular vision, and it can actually gauge depth and distance by focusing on objects with 3 separate regions.
Almost like the iPhone does with that Measure app.
Yeah, except different.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I don't really know what it means, but I'm suspecting it can read a text on the smaller version of the iWatch without having to squint.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate trying to read text messages on the watch. It's just, it's too hard.
Well, now I got the new one with that extra size screen.
Yeah.
44 millimeters instead of 42. Or was it 42 instead of 40? I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, it's so much bigger now. It's like a couple of millimeters bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we could all use an extra couple of millimeters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of thousand millimeters, maybe. I don't know. So some mantis shrimp are monogamous. So some of them have kind of...
So there's players and there's haters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you got haters, you got some that are players, some that are haters.
Yeah.
Then you got the player haters.
Yeah. In every species, there's got to be some who go the beta cock route. And this one's, you know, decided that instead of being able to go out and mate with 20 or 30 different females, he's going to stay with the same partner for 50 years.
Okay. Well, yeah, but could it be that there's like ugly mantis shrimp and good-looking mantis shrimp?
Well, it's the personality that counts.
Oh.
With them.
Wonder what kind of personality they do have. I mean, you know they got to be walking around with their chest puffed out because they know they're tough.
I think they've probably got short temper.
You'd have to.
Yeah.
With all that power?
Yeah.
I don't think they have great responsibility. Why are we making so many comic book references? Neither one of us read comic books.
I don't know. So that was just to let people know that the mantis shrimp, as great as it is, does have its flaws. And the female, apparently, has a very unusual method of deciding what to do with its eggs.
Really?
It either carries them around with her, or she just buries them. Those are the only two options. There's no kind of, oh, I'll bury some, carry some, see how it works out, see how many kind of get through to hatching, all that stuff. It's like...
Yeah. So it's all or none?
Yeah, all or nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'd do the half and half method. Just hedge my bets, right?
You know, it's hard enough to kind of get in the head of human females without trying to get in the head of female mantis shrimp.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of like when you go to the horse track. You know, you always throw $2 on the long shot because you know if there's 13 races, the odds of one of those long shots hitting throughout the day are pretty good. And that's going to cover all the other horrible bets that you make and, you know, all the money you lost.
Not really the same as a female mantis shrimp burying her eggs, though, is it?
I think it's the exact same.
Okay.
Yeah. So we hope you learned some stuff about the mantis shrimp. One thing we do want you to do is seriously go online and look up the mantis shrimp so you can see a picture of this sucker.
Because, or a video.
Yeah, or, oh, there are some cool videos of what these mantis shrimp do. I mean, they really are. If we were smart enough to be able to figure out if we could actually, like, post a picture on Instagram of a mantis shrimp, we'd probably do it, but we haven't figured out exactly how to do that because we are so technically challenged.
Yeah.
But... with all that being said, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd, and we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.